Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Joanne Shaw Taylor to stop by WNPAC on tour. Growing up in the UK during the 90s, most of Joanne Shaw Taylor's classmates were listening to the Spice Girls. However, Taylor was one of the few students listening to Texas blues music and dreaming of performing in the United States. Over 20 years later, she's living that dream. Still only in her 30s, Taylor has become one of the most sought-after guitarists in the world of rock, and next week she'll make her way to the Permian Basin. Taylor will be making a stop on her current tour in Midland with a concert starting at 8 p.m. March 29th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Quote, "I'm super excited to be coming to West Texas," end quote, Taylor said in a phone interview. Quote, "I actually lived in Houston for a while. It's been a long time since I've been back to Texas. I think I did Dallas and Austin with Devin Allman at the end of 2021, but it's going to be the first time that I've been back in that state, so I'm really looking forward to coming back," end quote. Taylor lived in Houston off and on for about 4 years, specifically in the suburb Spring. However, that was about a decade ago, as she now resides in Nashville, Tennessee. But she's always had a deep love for the Lone Star State. Quote, "I grew up listening to Texas blues, so it's always had a special place in my heart," end quote, Taylor said. Taylor launched her tour March 19th at Bellheimer Capitol Theater in Clearwater, Florida. Her tour will take her throughout the Southeast and then Texas, California, the Pacific Northwest, Idaho, and Colorado, before wrapping up in Missouri. Quote, "I'm really looking forward to this tour," end quote, Taylor said. Quote, "We had a great tour last year in the States and in the UK. We're kind of a newish band, but we're getting along great. The shows have been fantastic. We've been dying to get back out. I'm looking forward to getting back out there," end quote. Taylor was discovered by Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics at the age of 16, who, having watched her play, immediately invited her on the road with his supergroup, D.U.O. Before long, a career in music was born. In the preceding years, her guitar playing saw her build an army of plaudits, including Jimmy Cliff, Joe Bonamassa, Stevie Wonder, and Annie Lennox. Taylor grew up in West Midlands County, England, where she was inspired to play the blues after hearing Stevie Ray Vaughan, Albert Collins, and Jimi Hendrix. Quote, "I had been playing classical guitar, but loved playing guitar, not so much classical guitar," end quote, Taylor said of her early years. Quote, "My dad showed me Stevie Ray Vaughan live in Austin at Austin City Limits, and that was it. That's what I wanted to do. Very early on, I listened to the Texas Blues and Fred King as well as ZZ Top. That was it really for me," end quote. Taylor talked about the music scene in the UK where she grew up. Quote, "The good thing is that where I grew up is that it has a really good music scene. Not necessarily for blues, but it's like the Detroit of England," end quote, Taylor said. Quote, "You had Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and Judas Priest. It was kind of an industrial part of the UK. It was definitely a good music scene. It was a little weird because I was a girl growing up in the 90s and the Spice Girls were popular. It was nice, though. There was musical heritage there, even though not many kids at my school were listening to it," end quote. Taylor released her first full album on Rough Records entitled, quote, "White Sugar," end quote, in 2009. Over the next few years, she released critically acclaimed albums, including her sophomore album, Diamonds in the Dirt, in 2010, Almost Always Never in 2012, which featured the UK radio hit Soul Station, plus her final album from Rough Records, Songs from the Road, in 2013. In 2014, she released her fourth studio album, The Dirty Truth, on Axel House Records, that featured the singles Mud Honey and Wicked Soul. In 2016, Taylor followed up the release of her fifth album, Wild, which saw her perform songs Dying to Know and Summertime on BBC Two Television's popular music show, later with Jules Holland. Taylor has proven herself as a prolific songwriter, releasing acclaimed albums under her belt with 2019's Reckless Heart, breaking into the UK Top 20 album chart, and cementing herself as one of the top exports in British blues rock. The blues album, produced by Bonamassa and Josh Smith at Ocean Way Recording Studios in Nashville, marked her seventh studio album and was her first released on Bonamassa's independent label, KTBA Records, in 2021. The album debuted at number one on the Billboard Blues charts. In 2022, Taylor received her second number one Billboard Blues album with Blues from the Heart Live, which was also released on KTBA Records. Her most recent album, Nobody's Fool, was released on October 28th last year, which featured Bona Mesa, Stewart, Tina Guo, and Carmen Vandenberg. Quote, "This is one that I recorded in Los Angeles with Joe Bona Mesa," end quote, Taylor said of her recent album. Quote, "It's 11 original tracks. It was a really fun album to make. It was kind of a different album for me. It was nice to do one where I can do whatever I wanted, really, and explore and mess around with songwriting. It was a fun album to make. I'm really pleased with it," end quote. However, there were still some challenges in putting the album together. Quote, "To be brutally honest, it was a time thing because Joe and I started working together in COVID when we both weren't touring. And when we started touring again, both our tours are busy, so that made it a challenge to write it quick and getting in there and putting it together," end quote, Taylor said. Quote, "Fortunately, the timing was on our side. Also, my friend Carmen Vandenberg and Dave Stewart were in LA at the time, so they were able to guest star for us. Making albums is always a challenge when you tour as much as we do, but it was a great experience," end quote. Taylor talked about the songwriting process of Nobody's Fool. Quote, "For this one, I pretty much locked myself away and I enjoyed writing this album," end quote, Taylor said. Quote, "I think that was because I hadn't written an album since 2018, so it was really nice to get back to it. The reason why I did blues covers during COVID was because I didn't have anything to write about. I hadn't been doing anything except sitting at home and watching Downton Abbey, so it was nice to get back to it. The process is that I sat down with an acoustic guitar and didn't have a particular idea in my mind about the genre. It was fun to sit down and find the catchy melodies for each song. I had a great time with it. It was a nice experiment," end quote. She doesn't get to go back to the UK as much as she did before COVID, but Taylor still finds time each year to visit family. Quote, "I went back more so before COVID because that shut down international travel for a while," end quote, Taylor said. Quote, "Obviously, everyone's just getting back to touring. I did get to go back twice last year, and hopefully I'll get to go back twice this year. Usually, if we do a tour, we look at going in the summer, and I'll get to see my dad and family. I get to go back, though, not as some people who live abroad get to see their family," end quote. She's also eager to be back on the road performing. Quote, "I think all tour musicians joke that when they're at home, they want to be on the road, and when they're on the road, they want to be at home," end quote, Taylor said while laughing. Quote, "I'm super glad to be back to touring after COVID," end quote. For more information about next week's show, go to tinyurl.com/4xj65s4m. One Giant Leap. Museum exhibit presents To the Moon. On July 20th, 1969, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first people to land on the moon. Over 50 years later, the Ellen Noel Art Museum is honoring that historic mission with its new exhibition at the Presidential Archives, Destination Moon, a celebration of JFK and the Apollo 11 moon landing. The exhibition is on display until April 13th. Due to the Ellen Noel Art Museum's affiliation and accreditation with the Smithsonian Institute, they were able to host this riveting exhibition from the Institute, along with historic items and artworks from the Presidential Archives collection, as well as items on loan from other museums, including the Museum of Texas Tech and the New Mexico Museum of Space History. The exhibit is also centered around astronaut Mike Massimino, who the University of Texas of the Permian Basin will be hosting for its distinguished lecture series at 7 p.m. March 30th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Massimino was a part of the space shuttle mission known as STS-109, which was the 27th flight of the orbiter Columbia back in March 2002. Collections intern Victoria Hutchinson Deeb is also in charge of putting together the exhibit. Talked about the new display at the museum. Quote, "The exhibit is going up because we have Mike Massimino. The UTPB leadership is bringing him here later on," end quote, Hutchinson Deeb said. Quote, "That's what the inspiration behind this exhibit was. We wanted to put something together about the moon and the astronauts because UTPB is having the guest speaker with their lecture series," end quote. The exhibit contains a few posters from the Smithsonian, as well as a portrait of JFK, which belongs to the archives collection. Quote, "A bunch of other projects, like the moon rocks and the space modules, are from the Museum of Texas Tech up in Lubbock," end quote, Hutchinson Deeb said. quote, "We also have signed autograph photos of the three men that were on Apollo 11, Michael Collins, Neil Armstrong, and Buzz Aldrin. We also have some patches and medals. That's all from the New Mexico Museum of Space History," end quote. Destination Moon is centered around events earmarked by July 20th, 1969, a decade of unprecedented change and technological innovation that brought humanity farther than ever before. Armstrong's first steps on the moon could only have been possible with the leadership of Kennedy and the following presidents who saw his vision through. The exhibit has been in the works for a couple of months, and Hutchinson Deeb finished putting it together last week. Quote, "Something unique is that because the Ellen Noel is an art museum and this is a history museum, we have some art with the portrait of Kennedy, but the rest of the exhibit is history-centered objects. It's fun because the Presidential Archives is a history museum. What makes it unique is that there are historical objects with pieces here, including the moon rocks, and I think that's what makes it interesting," end quote. The exhibition is going to have its closing reception at 5:30 p.m. April 13th. The reception will be a free event presented by the museum. Activities will include viewing of the PBS video, 8 Days to the Moon and Back. For more information about the exhibit, go to tinyurl.com/4abun4yp. Watson to perform for Chuck Wagon Gang fundraiser. Legendary country singer-songwriter Dale Watson will be making his return to Odessa next week, only this time it's not for a private gig. In the past, the Texas-based guitarist has performed in the Permian Basin, but usually at closed events. However, next week, he will be performing at a fundraiser for the Odessa Chuckwagon Gang. The event will take place at 5:30 p.m. at the Ector County Coliseum in Barn A. The fundraiser will support the Odessa Chuckwagon Gang going to Quantico, Virginia, to represent Odessa and feed the Hostage Rescue Team Association's annual fundraiser and banquet. Those who wish to purchase a table can do so at tinyurl.com/37mzypkv. Quote, "I always love Odessa, Texas," end quote, Watson said in a phone interview. Quote, "But it's the first time that I'll be coming out for a festival thing like this," end quote. As a child, Watson knew he wanted to be a country musician. Over the years, he's become a favorite of critics and alternative country fans. He may have been born in Birmingham, Alabama, but he was raised in Texas. Watson, who currently resides in Marshall, came from a family of musicians. Quote, "My dad was a musician," end quote, Watson said. Quote, "My mother had a band, so it's always been there. It's basically a family business. I was exposed to music then. At first, I wanted to be a career military guy, but I ended up going into music," end quote. He grew up in Houston, specifically Pasadena, where the music scene was strong. Quote, "Honky-tonks were at all the beer joints," end quote, Watson said. Quote, "You couldn't escape it, really. It was a good way to make some money and have fun," end quote. He was performing by the time he was a teenager. Quote, "By the time I graduated from high school, I was in a band, and it just went on from there. But I soon realized that Pasadena wasn't a way to go higher up the ladder," end quote. After trying his luck in Nashville, Tennessee, Watson soon went to Los Angeles, where he said he had some success and got a record deal. However, it wasn't long before he returned to the Lone Star State. Quote, "I've been here since then," end quote, Watson said. Quote, "I've been doing record deals and keep touring, so it's been really great. I'm pretty happy with my career," end quote. His latest album, Call Me Insane, was recorded in Austin with veteran producer Lloyd Maines. He carries on in the tradition of Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, and Willie Nelson with his Ameripolitan brand of American roots music. Some of his guest appearances have included being in Jimmy Kimmel's house band on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live from SXSW in 2015. He also emceed the first ever SXSW Ameripolitan Showcase, which featured the best of, quote, outlaw country, end quote, and Texas swing music. His list of performances have included being at the famous Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, but his favorite is still being on, quote, Austin City Limits, end quote. Quote, "For me, it's kind of the new Grand Ole Opry, plus it's a Texas thing," end quote, Watson said. Quote, "Growing up with, I've watched Willie Nelson on Austin City Limits, so it's just ingrained in the roots. It makes me appreciate everything. It also meant I arrived in my home state. That made it very special. It's not something everyone gets to do," end quote. He's performed on Austin City Limits twice, with the last one coming in 2015. His other recent albums include Dale Watson Presents, The Memphians, Call Me Lucky, and Blackjack. One of the things Watson loves is to write songs about real people. Quote, I've written about George Jones, Merle Haggard, and Johnny Cash, and people who aren't famous like my friend in Lubbock and a guy named Roy Cross, end quote, Watson said. Quote, there's a lot of people that I write about. I like that about country music. It's something that's tangible and something that people can find these places and these people and meet them, end quote. For more information about the about next week's fundraiser, go to tinyurl.com/5JWJ2285. Basin Theater works to host charity poker tournament. This weekend, Basin Theater Works will present its first charity poker tournament. Hosted by Lone Star Poker Tour, the tournament will begin at 6 p.m. March 25th at the Permian Playhouse. Proceeds will benefit operational and programming costs for Basin Theater Works. The tournament includes a $50 buy-in, $50 rebuys, and $50 add-ons. For more information, contact Basin Theater Works at 432-362-2329 or go to tinyurl.com/YC2WU9Y4. Spirits of the West Wine and Beef Fest to return. Alpine. Alpine's Gallery Night has recently announced the return of its annual Spirits of the West Wine and Beef Festival, a celebration of spirits, culture, wine, and beef from across the state. The event is scheduled from April 21st through 22nd in downtown Alpine on 6th Street and the Grenada Theater on Holland Avenue. The Grenada Theater will host music events both nights. This will mark the second year the festival has taken place. Tickets can be purchased online at tinyurl.com/BDCSK649. Odessa Arts Black and White Ball to take place next week. The Odessa Arts Annual Black and White Ball will take place at 6:30 p.m. April 1st at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in the Permian Ballroom. This year's theme is The Color of Fashion and will celebrate the 2023 Friends of the Arts. The Friends of the Arts honorees for this year are Peggy Dean, Marita Hendrick, and Dick Gillum. Tables and sponsorships are available online at tinyurl.com/9shxbfn2. Love Sick to be performed at UTPB this weekend. This weekend, the University of Texas Permian Basin's recently revived theater program will be putting on John Cariani's play, Love Sick. The show will take place at 7 p.m. March 24th and 25th and at 2 p.m. March 26th on campus at the Dunnigan Library. The play captures the fundamental elements of human relationships. Not a typical comedy, Love Sick is much darker as Cariani presents both the positive and negative aspects of love. Making her directorial debut is Nicole Rigaud Vanderford, who is eager for the opportunity to put this show on. The show is a part of the Return of the Drama program at UTPB. Quote, I'm very excited, end quote, Rigaud Vanderford said. Quote, this is the start of a new venture for UTPB. We had a drama program many years ago, and now that we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of UTPB, we are looking at starting fresh. We've reinvented the theater program. It's a minor. It's not on degree just yet, but it's an interdisciplinary program. We created a curriculum to where anybody interested in any facet of theater could add this kind of program to a degree that they're pursuing at UTPB, end quote. Cariani, who also wrote the play Almost Maine, is a well-known dramatist who focuses on, quote, absurdist theater, end quote. Quote, Almost Maine is more on the absurdist side, end quote, Rigaud Vanderford said. Quote, we do have some absurd elements in Love, Sick, but the play focuses on the path that we take to finding love in our lives, end quote. The play is a collection of 9 slightly twisted and often funny short plays. Set on a Friday night in an alternate suburban reality, the play explores the pain and the joy that comes with being in love. The show starts off with that initial attraction and then moves on to the heartbreak of a relationship. Quote, it explores what happens when a marriage breaks down, when it builds up and it takes us all the way through that acceptance of love and it ends where it begins, end quote, Rigaud Vanderford said. Quote, we have that one couple at the beginning and then we see them at the end to signify that cycle of love that we continue to put ourselves through, that cycle, until we find that one that we're meant to be with, end quote. There are 9 different scenes in the play, as well as 9 actors playing the roles of 18 different characters in total. One of those actors is Taba Muhammad. One of the things Muhammad loves about this play is how simple the production is. Quote, "It's very minimal," end quote, Muhammad said. Quote, "It focuses more on the actor more than the set and the props. The audience can focus more on the actors and their emotions," end quote. Muhammad's character in the show is a hardworking mother and wife named Liz. Quote, "She's almost at work every day, so she barely gets to see her family and kids," end quote, Muhammad said. Quote, "She provides for her family. Sometimes she feels like she's missing out on her kids' lives and misses out on having that intimate relationship with her spouse. That's what Liz is. She's perseverant. She does everything that she says she's going to do," end quote. For Muhammad, it's been a joy to be a part of the Invigorated Drama Program at UTPB. Quote, "I love working with my cast," end quote, Muhammad said. Quote, "It's been a thrill to get to know them more. We've spent a lot of time with each other outside of rehearsals to build chemistry. One thing for me, personally, is that I haven't been in theater since high school. I used to love theater. To have that chance to be a part of the theater program here at UTPB, it brought back my love for theater. I'm very appreciative that we're starting the theater program up, and I'm glad to be a part of it," end quote. Carol Harwell is another cast member of the show who plays Louise Overby. Quote, "She's an older lady," end quote, Harwell said. Quote, "She's never been married. She has a boyfriend and she thinks they're going to get married, and she's all excited until she sees a telegram man come by," end quote. Harwell says her character in the show is fun. Quote, "She's a lot more fun than I am," end quote, Harwell said with a laugh. Quote, "She's very excitable. I enjoy playing the different emotions. It's a very short scene, but it goes through a lot of different emotions. It's fun seeing that package of emotions in a short amount of time," end quote. Playing multiple roles in the show is Daniel Fernandez. His first character is a man named Ben who has a love interest. His second character is a married man who goes through a different range of emotions with his wife after work. Quote, "In that scene, I come home to my wife and she brings up something that happens in her day, and it brings us down another course," end quote, Fernandez said. Quote, "We go from relaxed to something we have to figure out as a couple," end quote. In his third act, he plays a twice-divorced person who runs into his ex at the store. Quote, "The first one, I like to play Ben because he's a nervous guy who's interested in this person that he's been talking to for a month," end quote, Fernandez said. Quote, "It's fun to act it out. The next one is nice because I like the drastic differences in emotions that it goes through. It's nice to switch between the emotions. The last one is nice because it's about reminiscing and how interesting it is to run into someone that you have a history with," end quote. For tickets and more information about the show, go to tinyurl.com/5edu2p5t. Obituary. Michael Dean Lester. Odessa. Michael Dean Lester, born January 3, 1964, age 59. Mike departed this earth on February 11, 2023 at Mission Trail Baptist Hospital in San Antonio, Texas, to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Mike was a father, dad, to his 2 daughters, Natasha Lene Madry, Casey Renee Gutierrez, son-in-law Steve Gutierrez, 1 grandson, John Michael Cifuentes, whom he was very close to and loved playing basketball with. He had 7 sisters and 2 brothers. Please join us with his memorial at Corky's Bar and Grill in Odessa, Texas, on March 25th, 2023, starting at 2 o'clock. Post-COVID symptoms. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 64-year-old man and have a history of borderline high blood pressure. The reason I am writing is that over the last year, I've experienced an abnormal sensation in my mouth. It is hard for me to explain, but my mouth feels really dry all the time. I've also developed white patches on my tongue. My doctor gave me treatment for a fungal infection, and it really did not help. I saw a dentist, and he told me to speak with my primary care provider. My doctor was worried that it could have been COVID-related, but my senses of taste and smell are fine. I do not remember getting sick, but my blood test did show that I likely had it. I will be seeing another specialist, but was wondering if this really can happen after COVID and what can help to make me feel better. Answer. Many people have symptoms that may last for weeks or months after a COVID infection, even one that was so mild that the person didn't know they had it. Most people have had fatigue, shortness of breath, and difficulty thinking, brain fog, after a COVID infection, but relatively little attention has been paid to the mouth. Reported symptoms after COVID include pain, dryness, redness, color changes of the inner mouth and lips, white plaque, fungal infections, various changes of the tongue, and swelling. Further, COVID appears to be able to trigger some diseases of the mouth, such as herpes, lichen planus, and Sjögren's disease syndrome. Hard sugar-free candies to promote saliva or mouth moisturizers may help short-term. If this is a post-COVID complication, it should get better over the next several months. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby, friend with benefits still benefiting after engagement. I lost my husband of 20 years a little over 2 years ago. Last year, I moved to another state to be close to my family. I rented an apartment and my best friend moved with me. Shortly after, I met a much younger man. He was immediately interested in me. He's sweet, kind, and very handsome. It took me months to realize that I'm also interested in him. We began spending time together, including bedroom fun. He was told me at least twice he loves me, and I told him the same. His demeanor and expressions match his words, and we agreed for the time being to be friends with benefits. 3 months ago, he met someone much closer to his age, but even in front of her, he holds me close and tells me he loves me. She has now slapped a ring on his finger and is pushing him for marriage. He keeps saying he is not ready. We feel that until the day he says I do, it's okay for us to continue our bedroom fun. I'm new to the dating world, and he's my first since my husband passed. Am I doing the right thing? Loving the fun in Washington. Dear Loving, it is extremely difficult to hit a moving target. No one slaps a ring on another person's finger unless that person holds still for it. You are not doing the right thing by continuing to sleep with this man. In fact, you may be heading for a painful fall. When he marries his fiancée, you will be history once he realizes you are more than a good friend he loves, but also a former bed partner. Dear Abby, our family has a thrilling story in its history about our grandfather and his brothers rescuing his family's player piano from their burning house. The house burned to the ground, and they lost nearly everything but the piano, which is now shuffled among family members' homes. It's not particularly attractive, and it's certainly not playable, even as a regular piano. It's one of the cheap, mass-produced, no-name models that were popular in the 1920s. There are relatives who are desperate to keep it in the family, but who don't have the place to store or the money to refurbish it. I'm not sentimental. If it were dumped on me, I'd throw it out. I told them they should take lots of photos of it and get rid of it. If some family members rescued a giant TV set from a fire, it wouldn't make sense to keep it around for 100 years. I'm sure they enjoyed the player piano as a source of entertainment in its time, but that time has passed. My question is, how do you get people to let go of material possessions that they have become a huge burden? Unfinished song in New Jersey. Dear Unfinished, you stated that if someone gave you that old piano, you would junk it. If someone wants to give it a home, that is where it should go. I'm having trouble understanding why the fate of that instrument is your problem. Make it clear to your relatives that you want nothing to do with that piece of furniture and let it go.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.